This past week in politics brought with it a rather odd contrast. One evening, there was President Trump in Orlando detailing all the greatness that America now holds and continues to offer. Then there was the one day in a congressional hearing room where a Democratic presidential candidate and Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey was leading an effort for reparations. Like I said, quite the contrast. Here with us now to look back at these two views of America is the founder and chairman of Black Americans for a Better Future, Rainer Jackson. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you having me.
Website for Mr. Jackson's organization, BAFBF.org, and, of course, to learn more about his other professional work, RainerJackson.com, political consultant, advisor, and a few more other things on his resume. So as speeches go, Rainer, with Trump in Orlando, on a scale of 1 to 10, is 10 not enough?
Well, yeah, the only deficiency I saw in his speech and in most of his speeches, Chris, is there was no call to action at the end of the speech saying to the audience, when you walk out of this auditorium, I need you to do A, B, and C, whatever okay. those things are. And I'm a stickler for things like that. But on the content, beautiful speech, style, delivery, beautiful. And I just think, Chris, this administration needs to do a better job of communicating directly to the Black community, because this administration has a great story to tell, but it has not been told effectively.
Well, as I posted on my Facebook page after the speech, keep in mind, the Democrats have been the only ones talking so far. Trump's just getting warmed up.
Yes, exactly.
So that's why, again, don't pay attention to the polls right now. Keep in mind, these are the same pollsters that said Hillary's going to win in 2016, but that was, I guess, another story for another time. But when you look at the – well, let's look at the audiences. So if you look at the background and the audiences of just Trump's speech in Orlando versus the people you see for Biden – Buttigieg actually came forward to say, you know what, I look out there and I just see white people too. That's a problem for my campaign. But you see a mixed populace at Trump gatherings.
Yeah, but what I would love to see, Chris, to be honest with you, I would love to see this president take his message directly into the Black community. And what we could do is we could set up a situation where it's a friendly group of Black conservatives. Do what the Democrats do, Chris. They are great at providing a safe place for their speakers to speak. We are horrible at doing the same thing. And so Democrats don't have conservatives interrupting their speeches, and conservatives wouldn't do it anyway if they had the opportunity. But we need to set up safe places for this president to go into the Black community, take his message directly to the Black community. And Chris, I'm telling you, there's a story to be told here, but it just has not been told.
No doubt about it, but do you need that safe place? If you're saying this idea, first thing I thought of was when Reagan was running in 1980, remember that time he went right to the South Bronx, certainly not friendly territory, and people got in his face, but the cameras were there, and the PR that came out of that confrontational situation was one of the things I think lifted him to the landslide.
Yeah, but the reason I want a friendly audience, Chris, as you know, if we put them in the lion's den and people come out with these posters and all these stupid statements that interrupted his every other word, that's going to be the media story. Before we go into the lion's den, Chris, let's meet with Trump supporters from the Black community. Let's take care of home base first. Then we take them to the lion's den.
Okay, point well taken, and certainly the times have changed since 1979 to 1980. We don't have the violent crazies like we had back now versus what we did not have back then. So, yeah, point well taken. Well, as far as the Black Trump supporter, who is that person? Is it someone who has already made it? Is it the one who is looking to make it and sees Trump's ideas and policies as the path to making it?
It was interesting, Chris. That's a great question. You have people like me, entrepreneurs, who are natural allies to this president, but also you have people you normally wouldn't expect. Chris, for example, I have a nephew back home in St. Louis, which is where I'm from. And in St. Louis, if you're born black, you're Democrat. That's just the way it is. That's part of your heritage. But yeah, he has his own electrical shop that, you know, certified by the unions and all that stuff. And he likes what Trump is doing as far as the economy and stimulating growth and housing and things, because his businesses are booming right now as far as electrical work and for housing. And so can you imagine a room full of professional entrepreneurs like me, white collar, sitting next to my nephew, who's blue collar, and we both support the same president because his policies for our respective industries have been great. That's the story that has not been told.
Again, so it's the time traditional message of you want a hand up or a hand out.
Yes, no question. No question. And the other thing, Chris, that has not been told, and I know I sound like a broken record, under 8 years of Obama, he devastated the historically black college communities for the individual schools. In 2 years, this President Trump has done more for the black colleges than Obama did in 8 years. And this is coming from the heads of these black colleges. They tell me this privately. They're afraid to say it publicly, but they have made it perfectly clear to me, and I've known this all along anyway, the HBCU community tend to do better when Republicans are in control than when Democrats are in control. They will all tell you that privately.
In what ways have the black colleges been more empowered under this administration versus before?
Oh, well, number one, money for capital improvements, you know, as far as bricks and mortar, internet technology, through various funding from the Department of Education and grants. But also, one of the insidious things Obama did, Chris, was he was responsible for more than 50,000 black students having to drop out of school because he tightened up the controls under which low-income parents could get loans for their kids to stay in school. It devastated low-income blacks. Trump has repealed a lot of those programs where it's easier for a low-income parent to get money to pay for their kids' school at an HBCU. And that story has not been told.
That's why I wanted to bring those points forward, because for at least the people listening here and those later listening on the podcast, hopefully that awareness can spread just a little further, because it is necessary. We're talking with Rainer Jackson, who is the founder and chair of Black Americans for a Better Future, BAFBF.org, and RainerJackson.com. We have those links over to our page as well. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So let us turn the page to quite the contrast, as I said back in the introduction, because later in this very same week, you had Cory Booker and Danny Glover, there's the odd couple right there, talking about reparations in a committee hearing room. What exactly is propelling this idea forward?
Okay, Chris. Now, I know you've been in media a long time, so you're going to probably find this hard to believe and understand, that anytime the Democratic Party spend this much time talking to black folks, it must be a presidential election year. Isn't it amazing that Obama in his first 2 years had the House and Senate and the White House in his control, and they never did anything with the issue of reparations? Now that they know that blacks are, there's an opening for blacks with the Trump administration, now they want to talk about reparations. Let me put it this way, Chris. Weak people take strong positions on weak issues. That was a poll released last week by the Black Economic Alliance, BA, a liberal black group that hosted all the Democratic candidates last week in South Carolina. They released a poll by the Hart Organization. The number one issue on their poll relative to the black community was access to capital. You know what was last on that list? Reparations.
Wow.
This came out last weekend.
This is Cory Booker, quotes from him at various points in time, because he's been talking about this since April now. Right now, today, we have a historic opportunity to break the silence, to speak of the ugly past and talk constructively of how we will move this nation forward. This idea that is just about writing a check from one American to another falls far short of the importance of this conversation. I say that I am brokenhearted and angry right now. Booker's always angry, actually. Decades of living in a community when you see how deeply unfair this nation is still to so many people. What America does he see?
You know, Chris, what's amazing is listening to a lot of these liberals, you would think America was still under slavery because, slavery is our original sin. Do we really need a commission to talk about that, Chris? I think you and I and your listeners know about that. But America has come a long way from where we started. We have not reached perfection yet, but we've come a long way. I tend and want to focus on the progress we've made because guess what, Chris? Reparations is not going to stop one more black kid from being killed by another black in Chicago, Baltimore, Ferguson, where I'm from. Reparations is not going to stop one more teenage girl from being pregnant out of wedlock. Reparations is not going to stop one more teenager from dropping out of high school. And so while if we had the luxury of dealing with an issue like reparations, I probably would be open to it. But, Chris, the issues facing the black community has nothing to do with white folks' racism and inequality. It has everything to do with the lack of fathers in the household and the bad choices we're making. And so what Democrats constantly do is throw this emotional red fish into the black community and think black folks are so stupid they want to get all emotional, whereas this president has lowered the unemployment rate to historic levels in the black community. Job opportunities are much more open than they were under Obama. And so as opposed to focus on tangible things that can make a difference tomorrow morning in our community, we want to get off into these esoteric debates about reparations.
Another quote from Booker. And this whole idea, by the way, the Democrats are cushioning it by saying, we're not demanding the checkbook come out. We just want to have a committee study, which a committee study is sort of like temporary tax. They're never either one is never, ever going to go away. But Booker says that the debate was about obtaining equality of opportunity, a leveling of our economic playing fields, health playing fields, housing playing fields, and addressing those past consciously racial harms and wounds. In other words, I think it sounds like he's looking for quotas, isn't he?
Yeah. Chris, here's the question I have. What is stopping the NAACP or Al Sharpton Group, the Urban League, the Congressional Black Caucus, or even a university? What is stopping them from doing this commission? Why is it that we need the government to do it? I don't get it.
Well, because if you do it in a bingo hall somewhere in South Philadelphia, you're not going to get the coverage versus a congressional hearing room.
So we're going to waste money on a frivolous report, well, we already know what the report's going to say, versus dealing with the crime rate in Chicago, Baltimore, and Ferguson, and the drug use in Baltimore, Ferguson, and Chicago. I don't get it, Chris. I don't get it. Again, weak people take strong positions on weak issues.
So as far as the work of your organization, Black Americans for a Better Future, what are your mechanics? What do you seek to do, and how do you go about doing it?
Well, we want to get more blacks involved in the Republican Party, but our focus, Chris, is singularly on the black entrepreneurs. So we get these black entrepreneurs involved in policy on and making sure they interact with the members of Congress on proposed legislation. For example, we were very involved in the 2017 tax cut, but the president got passed in 2017. We have come out against this issue of minimum wage increase, that livable wage. I represent in my private company a lot of professional athletes and entertainers, and I got several of my guys who played in the NFL who own McDonald's and Wendy's franchises, and some of them are even big-time Democrats. But you know what, Chris? They have made it perfectly clear that if you raise minimum wage to $15, $20 an hour, it's going to devastate their businesses, and they are coming out in big numbers against this whole ignorant approach to livable wages. And so those are the issues we deal with. And guess what, Chris? I don't even have to ever have a political conversation with them because it's in their best interest for them to support conservatives who are more in line with their corporate agenda. And so they end up being registered Democrat, but they'll go out and vote Republican.
Learn more about the work of the Black Americans for a Better Future, BAFBF.org, and learn more about Reno Jackson's other line of work with his representation and the professional work and consultation that he does, RaynerJackson.com. Mr. Jackson, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and thanks for being here.
Thank you, Chris.